Tales from the Trenches. Tales from the Trenches is a look from the legal side of what landmines are out there, what to avoid, what to step on, what not to step on, and learning from other mistakes. Barry McGuire from the Ritchie Mill Law Office has been doing Tales from the Trenches for how many years, Bear?
Ten, Don.
That's like 12 score or something. Ten years long, and he's been sharing these on a monthly basis, and I'm always taking notes when he speaks. It's a great way to learn and not make the mistakes that others have made. So a big Edmonton, warm Edmonton welcome for Mr. Barry McGuire.
Thank you, Don. Thank you.
All yours, my friend.
Thank you. All right. Before we get on to tales, I got about three preliminary things just to start out on this. You know, why do we do this? This is education. This is me telling you folks things that I see that members have told me about that's supposed to help us all. So, I mean, that's really why we do it. We're all in this together, folks, and we all learn about these things the hard way, don't we? Life is learning things the hard way. Just because there's a hard way doesn't mean you get to not do stuff. You got to do stuff, and you're going to make a few mistakes. Okay, so every RAIN member in here that's been a member for more than a year, hands up, more than a year, hands down, who has made a mistake in their real estate investing career? Oh, I see. All you new guys see that? Okay. Who in here has a life other than RAIN? You have another job where you get some cash so you can invest. Who has made a mistake in their other business ever? Ah, I see. Which older gray-haired lawyer at the front of the room has made mistakes in his law practice and had to write checks for it? I'll be telling a tale about that later. Okay. Everybody get the point? Okay. Last time we did one of our tales was on cashback mortgages. I'll just give you a quick repeat on that, which is that some lenders sell their mortgages on the basis of when you close on this mortgage, we'll give you a check for $5,000. Cash back. You'll remember that the way they get to be able to do that is they charge you more interest. And then if you sell that property before the term of the mortgage matures, they make you pay back the cash back. So it's a cash back, except it's to them. And our member, despite due diligence, did not discover the cash back. We didn't discover the cash back because the lender didn't tell us on the assumption statement. There was nothing in the mortgaging. It was just when our member started to discuss it with the lender about paying out and getting some new financing, they said, oh yes, but you will have to repay the cash back. Big surprise. So that's where we left it last time. We sat down, the member and I sat down, we put together a pretty crisp letter that went through all of the ways that he touched the mortgage company throughout the due diligence process. And this member is very diligent. Everything was there. Put together a real crisp letter, sent it to the lender. Of course, the letter says, and you shouldn't charge me the cash back for these reasons. Miracle of miracles, within 10 days, the lender wrote back and said, you're right, we made a mistake. We shouldn't charge you the cash back, and we're not going to. Isn't that good? That is good.
Ask for what you want.
Ask for what you want, indeed. Yeah. So we've had two of these cashback stories now, and both lenders backed off because they did not properly advise folks that there was a cashback component. Now, don't rely on that. I think you should still ask the question when you're looking and doing your research on a mortgage that you might want to assume. Ask if there's a cashback component. It's rare, but it's turned up for two of our members. So ask. So that was a successful ending to that story. Next. This is a good one called Hurry Up and Wait, featuring another one of our members in the room today. Had lent some money from his RRSP on an RRSP mortgage. The borrower wanted to pay back. Our member wanted to be paid back because he had other uses for the money. Called the the trustee, this was B2B Trust in Toronto, found out what the plan was, what the details were for getting the check from the borrower to B2B, paying the money, getting the discharge, and then taking the money out of his RRSP and getting it back in his hands so he could use it for these other reasons that he needed the money for. Did a lot of research on it. Sent a nice letter saying, and here's where you send me the money. This was the 1st of December. Got the borrower check into me. We processed and turned it around in 2 days, had it to B2B. Nothing shows up within a week. He calls the lender. Yes, we got the check. Well, what have you done with it? Well, we're waiting for it to clear. That'll take a couple of days. Lenders often say it takes 10 days to clear. You got to watch that. Money always comes out of my account the minute I write a check. I mean, we've talked about this before. But then they say it takes 10 days to clear. Why is that? If it's out of the account and in theirs, I mean, what can somebody do about that? Anyway, that's an aside. So B2B had his payout check, or had the payout check, and they were letting it clear. How long will that take? A couple of days. Great. Make sure that you get on this, because I really need the dough. We will, and we'll phone you. 3 days pass, they don't phone. He calls. They say, yes, we've got that, and we think it's in processing now. It's cleared, but it's in processing. Well, do you know, and can you help me, and will you meet this date that I've asked, that you promised you could? Well, no, because we don't really know where it is. Well, will you look for it? Yes, we'll look for it. So one lesson out of that is that if you're sending money to a lender, send them a bank draft or certified funds so they can't give you the old, we have to wait for it to clear. Even if it's really urgent and I'm sending money for you and it's a lawyer's trust check, which of course I think nobody should ever question, but they do, and I don't think it's unfair that they question. If it's real, real important, you should say, Barry, get that check, lawyer's trust check of yours certified, because I don't want them to say they have to wait for your check to clear. So you can ask us to do that too. We'll do that. Calls back a few days later because, again, they promised to call. They don't. He phones. Where's my check? We mailed it. We mailed it. Our member assumed that for a good-sized check like this, the lender would courier it, because why would you put this amount of money in the mail when somebody's stressed how urgent it is and that they need it? You know, folks, partly it's because the lenders don't listen and they don't really care. What's a substantial check for you isn't big for them, and it's not important for them. So they mailed the check. Our patient member waits, and in the first part of January, the check hasn't arrived. Remember, he wanted it by about mid-December. Calls up again. Everyone decides the check is lost. He now has to sign an affidavit swearing that he has not cashed the check, and if he gets it, he'll turn it in. And they're going to send a replacement check. This time, we're sending it by courier. And the lender agreed to send it by courier after some prodding. Why did they have to be prodded to send it by courier? There's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. All lenders are in the business of cutting costs. So if you want it sent by courier, you have to say, send it by courier and I will pay for it. Charge my account. Our member also discovered that if they're sending checks to a business, they courier the checks. But if they're sending checks to a person, they mail them. Why is that? Who knows? Nobody knows why. But if you need it sent by courier, you have to tell them specifically, and you have to tell them who's paying, because somebody might just, after they've agreed to, say, what are you talking about? We don't courier these checks. Mail it. Some supervisor will say that. And lastly, they were going to send the check to the address in the mortgage, as opposed to the address in the written direction that our member had given the lender. Why were they going to do that? Because they didn't read the damn direction properly. Because they don't really care about you. Because it's a clerk who has no interest in you. What can you do about that? I think what you have to do is you need to set apart the direction to send it to this address in your letter, caps bold and a different size font. You got to make it leap out of the page so that things actually happen the way you want them to happen. So that's, I mean, that's just called details, folks. It's called not thinking that anybody will ever do it the way you want it unless you nail it down 100% tight. And that story can apply to any number of situations where you need a result by a certain time in a certain way. You have to make sure it happens. I think I beat up that one enough.